The Lord has laid a message on my heart that I cannot get away from. And I've learned to listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I like it when He leads me away from things, you know, and leads me into other things because I know He's at work. He's got something planned. So today we go to the book of Exodus chapter 15, the book of Exodus chapter 15. It's a simple thought this morning, but no doubt this thought will help somebody here because the Lord will not let me get away from this message. He just keeps bringing me right back to it. And that's how He works. In Exodus chapter 15, look at verse number 22. Exodus 15, verse 22. The Word of God says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they were there, and they went 3 days' journey in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' He cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.' They came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." This is a powerful portion of Scripture. If you mark your Bible, there's two words in verse number 22, in verse number 23 that I want to lift out of the Word of God and tie myself down to these verses and preach on it a while. Notice the two words, bitter waters. The two words, bitter waters. And that's the title of my message this morning, bitter waters. I have both of those enclosed with a line connecting them in that verse, bitter waters. You know, in this church, we've experienced some of that in this last week. Some waters that we would not choose for ourselves. Miss Linda Hensley went home to be with the Lord, the precious, precious lady of God. Brother Gary will give you the arrangements for that as I'm preparing for baptism. Miss Jenny Collins went home to be with the Lord this week. She's now beholding the face of Jesus. Good on their side, but great losses on this side. Think of Diane Edwards in the hospital, and praying for her and praying for Terry and the family. And the Lord has just laid on my heart as your pastor, I want you to preach to the broken hearts today. I want you to preach to those who are going through the bitter times of life. And this is what I'm doing this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning, and we pray that you will fill us with your power and your Spirit. Thank you for your goodness and mercy in our lives. Take this thought and use it as only you can, and make it obvious what you're preaching on today. May it not be me, may it be you that's heard. If somebody needs to be saved, I pray today is the day of salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. As you come to Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27, which we've already preached through that entire book, and as we preach through that, when you come up to this point that we're preaching on this morning, you find that the Lord had been extremely good to His chosen people, the nation of Israel. He had delivered them from Egyptian bondage and had set them free. And as you come to these verses, you're reminded of how the Israelites have just sung a wonderful praise song to God for His mighty works on their behalf. They've just sung it. Just sung how good God is. He's the greatest. They've just sung a wonderful praise song to God. May I put it this way? When you come to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, things were going great. They were on a spiritual mountaintop. However, as life typically is, their mountaintop did not last very long. Because you'll notice in verse 22, the Bible says they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. We can only imagine a crowd this size in a desert and no water anywhere. This was truly a big problem. They were thirsty. They needed to find water. It was a legitimate need. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, Israel is across the sea now. They have had a wonderful time of praise, singing the song of Moses. They're redeemed people, and you would think that from now on life would be a bed of roses and that they would be delivered from all their difficulties. There should not have been a cloud in the sky, a thorn along the path, nor a sigh from any of the congregation. Yet they went 3 days' journey into the wilderness, and what happened? They thirsted. They found no water. Finally, they came to a place where water was found. Now, we can only imagine a crowd this size with no water at all, and then all of a sudden they find water. You can imagine the excitement as they found the water that they thought that they could drink. We can only imagine how excited they must have felt when they spotted that water. We have found water. And they thought their thirst would be quenched and their needs met. However, when they tasted that water that day that they found, it was bitter. They couldn't stomach it. Even though it seemed good, they could not swallow it. May I put it this way? What a major disappointment. The people began to murmur against Moses, and they wanted to know what they would be able to drink. And now remember, these are the same people. Get this now. Don't forget this. These are the same people who just 3 days prior were singing the praises of God. But now, 3 days later, because trouble hit their life, they're murmuring. They're questioning. During this time that all they have to drink is bitter waters. No doubt these bitter waters are a picture of trials, a picture of tribulations, a picture of the disappointments in the lives of God's people. God has been good to all of His children. He has shown His mighty power to deliver us from eternal damnation, and if He hasn't in your life, He wants to today. But however, life is full of times when the waters are bitter. As a matter of fact, we can be praising God for His goodness one day, and the next day be hit with a bitter water experience. Something you just cannot swallow. Something that you just cannot taste. Something that just disappoints you. Rips your heart out of your chest. One man put it this way, problems and trials of considerable magnitude were permitted in the lives of the Israelites and are also permitted in our lives in order to reveal the magnitude of God's help. If our trials are always small, we will not have opportunity to see God do a mighty work, which can cause our faith to become much greater. The flesh does not want big trials. But without big trials, we will miss seeing many big things from God and will not grow much in spiritual strength. It's these times of bitter waters that many of you are experiencing as I speak. Something that you didn't choose. Something that's bitter to the taste. Something you can't stand, something that disappoints you, something that just you can't stomach. It's these times that I want us to dwell on in this passage, and we learn several things about them. Just tying ourselves down to verse 22, down to verse 27, there are several thoughts we learn about bitter waters. Simple message today, but one that can help you. By the way, if you don't need this morning, you better remember it because there's coming a day when you will. Number one, bitter waters. Here we go. Number one, bitter waters can come while following God. You see this in verses 22 and 23. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. See, the very first thing I want you to see in these verses is how they came to this place of bitter waters. Get this now, vital point here. They came to this place of bitter waters as they were following God's leading in their lives. See, we know from Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, that God's presence was leading them in this way. They were following the cloud. God led them to Marah. These bitter waters were on the path of God's leading in their life. The point here is God's people are not exempt from bitter waters. As one man said, obedience is no exemption from trial. Another man said, history has again and again shown us that the field of duty has been the field of danger, and that the way which has conducted directly from earth to heaven has been beset by temptations and difficulties too great for human strength. You may be right even when the heaviest trial is oppressing you. You may be losing your property, your health may be sinking, your prospects may be clouded, your friends may be leaving you one by one, yet in the midst of such disasters, your heart may be steadfast in faithfulness to God. See, here's the point. Sometimes the bitter waters are caused by us. You live in sin, God chastises you, bitter waters. But that's not this passage. That's another message. That's not what this passage is teaching. What this passage is teaching, he's not chastising them. He's not punishing them. He's trying to teach them something. So in his leading of their life, he in his sovereignty led them to this place where he knew the waters would be bitter. And he knew the waters would disappoint them. So if you're in a time of bitter waters, first of all, you need to make sure that it's not your sin or my sin. But may I say this to you? If it's not your sin, trust your Father. Because he has a bigger plan in mind. If you're in times of bitter waters, it does not mean that you're being chastised by God. Rather, if your heart is right with him, it's a place you can learn more about him. Somebody said, and I quote, disappointments are God's appointments. I like that. One commentator said, God sends no needless trials. If God sends it, there's a purpose behind it. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Did you hear that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, those that are right before God. Number one, bitter waters can come while following God. Number two, bitter waters can come unexpectedly. We see this in verse 23. During their 3 days' journey into the wilderness, the Israelites had found no water. Then they came to a place where water was found. No doubt this was a relief. No doubt. There's water! But their expectations were quickly and unexpectedly turned to bitterness. What they thought would bring them satisfaction unexpectedly brought them bitterness. The point is how times of bitter waters can come unexpected. As a matter of fact, they can sometimes come as a shock. One thing we need to understand is that life is uncertain. Now, this is not an encouraging message per se, but this is a truthful message that your pastor is trying to help you. Life is uncertain. We can have all of our plans, and suddenly, unexpectedly, those plans can crumble at our feet. We learn this from this passage. Bitter waters can come while you're following God. If you're going through trials, it doesn't mean your heart's not right with God. You need to make sure it's not that. But if it's not that, it's because God's doing something special in your life. It can come while following God. God can lead you into that for a reason. Secondly, it can come unexpected. It can knock you off your feet. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We're just looking at bitter waters today. Some of you have already been there, haven't you? Some of you are in them now, and the rest are headed towards them. Isn't that encouraging? You're either coming out of it, in it, or heading towards it. It's just the way life is. And we're studying these bitter waters. They can come while following God. They can come unexpected. Number three, they can cause you to forget God's goodness. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse number 24. And the people murmured against Moses. You know what the word murmur means? It means complaining. Hey, on the count of three, I want you to say the word murmur over and over again, like murmur, murmur, murmur. Are you ready? I remember when Mr. Kaiser did this, I couldn't stand it. I'm going to show you why, okay? On the count of three, say murmur over and over again. One, two, three, say it, murmur. Keep saying it. Listen to that. Isn't that disgusting? Yes, please stop. You know what Mr. Kaiser said? I've never forgotten it. That must be how complaining sounds to God. There's a reason he calls it murmur. Murmur, 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 murmur. It's disgusting, honestly. The Bible says these Israelites murmured against Moses. Interesting thing is how these same people, I've already said it, but I'm bringing it back up here, these same people have just sung a praise song to God. In that praise song, if we would go back and study it, it's the same chapter. If you go back and study that praise song, you hear them glorifying God for His power. Glorifying God for His goodness. But just 3 days later, during their time of bitter waters, their praise for the goodness of God has been exchanged for their murmuring and complaining. God's goodness has seemingly been forgotten during this time of bitter waters. Their eyes were on their current circumstance, and they forgot how good God had already been to them. The point here is how times of disappointment, times of pain, times of trials, times of tribulations can cause us to forget how good God's already been. Everything outside of the lake of fire, everything outside of eternity in the lake of fire is the mercy and grace of God. Everything. And if we will stop and consider, God has been good to every one of us. But if you're in bitter waters, don't let those bitter waters cause you to lose sight of the goodness of God. In 3 days, just 3 days, the Israelites forgot what they had sung about, because one of the things they sung about was God's provision. God will provide. They just sung about it 3 days prior to this. Don't let this happen to you. One man put it this way: he that had heard the devout songs of Israel at the Red Sea would have thought that in 3 days they could so totally. Who that had heard the devout songs of Israel at the Red Sea would have thought that in 3 days they could so totally forget their mercies and indulge such a rebellious spirit? He goes on to say, but look within and see whether after an occasional exercise of religious affections, you have not, including me, within still a shorter space of time, been hurried into the indulgence of the most unhallowed tempers and the gratification of a spirit that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. You know what bitter waters can do? Cause you to forget singing praises to God and murmur about what you're going through. That's number three. You ever been around people like this? How you doing? Well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm okay. I like what Dr. Tom Malone said. He said, I think somebody came to him one time, and he said, well, under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under there? Get out from under there. I like that. Isn't it interesting that when time is on, listen, when you're on a spiritual mountaintop, you're praising God. God's been so good to me. But when you're in a valley, you start complaining and murmuring. May I say this to you? He's the God of the valley as much as He's the God on the mountain. And He's looking for somebody who will praise Him no matter what life throws at them. Bitter waters can cause you to forget God's goodness. Number four, we're just looking at these bitter waters experiences. I've been thinking about the flock as your pastor, as your under-shepherd. The Lord is preaching to you through me today. He wanted me as the pastor to share with you and just remind you that He never promised life would be a bed of roses. He never promised that our lives would be constantly on a mountain. He never promised that. Sometimes He leads us in the opposite direction. Sometimes he leads us into bitter waters. And during those times, you need to understand it can come while you're following him. During those times, we need to understand it can come unexpected. It can cause us to forget God's goodness. And number four, I like this one. They can be made sweet. We see this in verse 25. Notice this. And he cried unto the Lord, Moses did, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the bitter waters, were made sweet. When the Israelites murmured against Moses, Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. By casting in that tree, the waters that were bitter to the taste became sweet to their taste. What made the difference? I call it the power of God. The point here is how bitter waters can be made sweet, get this, when God works in them. Stay with me here. It's interesting to note how that tree thrown into the waters, get it now, that tree thrown into the waters had been planted by God a long time before the Israelites got there. God put the tree there before they ever got there. God knows the beginning from the end, friends. He's already in our tomorrows. He planted that tree a long time before they got there, and one person put it this way, years before Israel arrived at Marah, God caused a seed to germinate in the very place where they would need it. He looked ahead and prepared a way before a way was ever needed. Now, some will try to teach that this tree is a picture of the cross. Not going to argue with that. Others try to teach it that this tree is a picture of a submissive will. But I'm not going to argue that either, but I'm not going to preach either one of those. Because there's another major thought here. The way the Lord spoke to me is no matter what that tree represents, the bitter waters are made sweet after God worked in them and had the tree thrown into them. Get this. Sometimes it is in the bitter waters of life when we see the working of God the most. I'm starting to get blessed right here, friends. The bitter waters are times when God demonstrates his power and demonstrates his presence among us the most. When you feel the presence of God so real, a lot of times it's during these times of bitter waters. We can only just imagine as well that those bitter waters that were there that day, and they put it up to the mouth because they were thirsty and it was bitter. Oh, I can't stand this. Ah, yuck, yuck, yuck. And they murmur, and Moses cries out to God, God, what do you mean? See that tree, Moses? Cut it down, throw it into the water. God began to work in those bitter waters, and now they go to taste it. Don't you think some of them were maybe a little hesitant? And they go down and they taste it, and what was bitter, it was the worst thing they ever tasted, is now the sweetest thing they've ever known. Is that not how God works? Does God not work in such a way that the worst time of your life can also be the best time of your life? Can God not work in such a way that you don't want to go through it again, but you would not trade it for anything? Because it was the worst time in your life, but God made it sweet. God walked through it with you. God was, his presence went through it with you, and you felt his presence so real during that time of bitter waters. I experienced that with baby Jessa. I know I keep on bringing that up, but I'm going to keep on bringing it up till the next bitter water experience hits me. And I'm not looking forward to it. But I know this, when my baby girl was lying in NICU and I didn't know if we was going to be able to bring her home, I was begging God, pleading, bawling my eyes out. God, please touch her. Please, please let us take her home. Had no idea if the next time they called us, if they were going to tell us, come and take her home, or, I'm sorry, she's passed away. I couldn't stand that time. But God's presence was so real to me during that time that that most bitter time of my life, when I look back on it, is also one of the most sweetest times of my life. Do you understand what I'm preaching? Do you get this? They can be made sweet when God works in them. Number five. Two more, brethren, you're about to make it. Number five, bitter waters can prove us. This is found in verse 25. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Notice this now. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Bitter waters can prove us. This verse tells us that here at the bitter waters, God proved them. You know what the word prove means? It means he tested them. He gave them a test. Their faith and obedience to the Lord was put to the test during this time. Would they submit to him? And would they believe him? No matter what. This time was used by God to show them about them. You know what bitter waters do? They show us. Is my faith strong? Am I really as strong as I think I am? Bitter waters will reveal that. One man said, God sends us trials to prove our faith. Few things so test our faith as bitter experiences. We may talk a good line, as did the Israelites in singing the song of victory at the Red Sea, but a mar of bitter experience will quickly reveal just how strong our faith is. Maras can also strengthen our faith in God as we witness how he's able to take the bitterness out of our lives. Miss Lashley said, difficult times that are bitter to our souls put our belief in the loving sovereignty of God to the test. Is God really sovereign? Is he really in control? Bitter waters will test that. Troubles many times reveals what's in our heart. God sometimes allows bitter waters to prove us to see if we are willing to trust and obey him no matter what. See, some have no problem going with God as long as their life is okay. But you let trouble hit them and they quit. God sometimes allows bitter waters in the lives of his children to make sure you're not going to quit on him. Some have quit on God at bitter waters. Don't let this happen to you. I've told this illustration before. I'm going to tell it again here. God's just working in bitter waters. The Word of God teaches that God sits as a refiner of silver. There's a ladies' Bible study that was studying on that particular phrase, a refiner of silver, and they wanted to know what God was teaching about himself. What's that mean when he says he sits as a refiner of silver? So one of them knew where a silver shop was, and she said, I'll go and find out. So she did. I'm paraphrasing some of this. And she watched the refiner of silver do his job, because God said he sits as a refiner of silver. He's a refiner of silver. He's trying to teach something. What is it? And she began to talk to this silver refiner, and the silver refiner said this. He said, here's how I do my job. He said, I'm the one that takes the silver and puts it in the fire. And he said, I never take my eyes off of it. My eyes are always on it, because I'm looking for an exact moment to pull it out of the fire. If I leave it in too long, it's ruined. If I take it out too early, it's ruined. There's an exact moment when I know to pull it out. Well, the obvious question was, when's the exact moment? And he said this, when I see a reflection of myself in it. When I look in the fire and keep my eye on that silver, I keep it in there until I see me. And when I see me, I know it's time to take it out. Could it be that God allows bitter waters as a refiner of silver to stick you as silver into the fire? He never takes his eyes off you, and all he's trying to do is burn all the dross. All he's trying to do is make you more like him. All he's trying to do is look until he sees a reflection of himself. The Word of God teaches in Psalm 66:10, for thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Number one, bitter waters can come while you're following God. They can come unexpected. They can cause you to forget God's goodness. They can be made sweet. They can prove us. And in closing, number six, they can reveal more about God. They can reveal more about God. Verse number 26. He says in the last phrase of the verse, I am the Lord that healeth thee. One of the most important things concerning bitter waters comes out in this verse. You know what he did? He gave them another name. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is a reference to the name Jehovah Rapha, which means the one who cures, the one who heals, the one who restores. Now get this. God revealed more of himself at the bitter waters than before they ever experienced it. This is the first time they ever heard the name Jehovah Rapha. They knew he was other things, but they found out another aspect of his character right here. The point is, during times of bitter waters, you can learn more about God. You get to know our God better through these trials. If Israel had never faced this bitter time, they would have never known this aspect of God's character. Just as Job would never have known that God could restore him unless he first lost everything. Just as Lazarus would not have known the joy of life if he hadn't died. Mary and Martha would not have known that Jesus was the resurrection and life unless they had first known grief. What I'm trying to say is that the Lord uses the bitter episodes of life to reveal himself more fully to his children. And when we stand at the bitter waters of Marah, and we will, God help us to know that he's on the throne, he's in control. And help us to look for his hand and his waiting provision. It's through these times of bitter waters that we learn more and more about God. He wants to reveal that no matter what we face, no matter what it is, he's the answer to our needs. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9, the Apostle Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. May I paraphrase? The Apostle Paul said, there's something painful sticking in me, a thorn. Thorn hurts, friends. You ever been stuck by one? It hurts. There's a thorn, something painful in me. It's the messenger of Satan. It's buffeting me. That word buffet means to hit over and over. Pow, 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 pow. Doesn't stop, just pow, pow. That's what it means. Beating the daylights out of me. Painful. And I begged God three times, take it away, God. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. May I paraphrase? God said, Paul, no. I will not remove it. Because I want to teach you something. I know it hurts. I know it's painful. But my grace is bigger than that. And when Paul heard that from God, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let me conclude this. As we come to a conclusion, let us remember that life is full of bitter waters. The disappointments and trials of life can come at any moment. Job 14:1 teaches this. Job 5:7 teaches this. But as we end on a positive note, an encouraging note, the chapter does not end with the bitter waters. It ends after the Lord revealed himself more to them there. The Bible says he called them and they came to a place called Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees. In other words, the bitter waters were terrible, but they were not permanent. Somebody say amen, friends. As J. Vernon McGee said, there is a Mara along the pilgrim pathway today. But friend, there is also an Elam. God's plan for usefulness always leads to Mara and to Elam. Joseph, you remember, had that experience. Moses did, Elijah did, David did, Adoniram Judson did, and I'm sure you and I will have that also. Beyond every Mara, there's an Elam. Beyond every shadow, there's an Elam. Beyond every cloud, there's the sun. Beyond every shadow, there's the light. Beyond every trial, there's a triumph. Beyond every storm, there's a rainbow. And as one man wrote, I trace the rainbow through the rain. This is the way God leads us. And all of these things happen to Israel for our example. I wonder today, are your waters bitter? Has something hit your life that you just can't stomach? You can't take anymore. It's so bitter. Number one, make sure you're in the family of God. Amen. Make sure God is your Father. Amen. Number two, make sure it's not sin in your life and God's chastising hand is upon you. Those both apply. But the message today was this. You could be a child of God and as right with God as anybody can be. And God has led you to Mara. Not because he's trying to hurt you. Because he's trying to teach you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the one that can make the bitterest experience in your life the sweetest experience of your life. Trust me. Everybody get this message? You got it? If you don't, I'm going to start all over again. Did you get it? You got it. Bitter waters. Don't let them throw you off course. In faith, say, I don't understand the bitter taste, but I'm trusting you for the tree, God. And help me stay the course. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Those who are following the Lord in baptism, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you at this time. Those who are being baptized today, I believe there's two of you. I want to go ahead and dismiss you at this time. And those who are going with you, as we prepare for the invitation, and we will not tarry long, God willing, they begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you truly born again? Do you know the Lord? As she begins to play through softly, have you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die? Would you raise your hand? You know you are. You don't hope so. You know so. God bless you. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand, now's your time. Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know I'm going to heaven, but I sure would like to. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do anything like that for the world, but I would like to pray for you. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me? I could not raise my hand saying, I know I'm going to heaven, but I have a desire to. I want to. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to learn more about this God who's bigger than my troubles. Yes, God bless you. Is there anybody else? Would you raise your hand? Anybody else? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I want to trust Christ. I want to know that the Lord is my Savior. Anybody along with this one, would you put your hand up, put it right back down? Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, and I know it, but I'm at those bitter waters. I'm at them. I'm experiencing bitter waters today. God knows it, and I know it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, boy, I'm at those bitter waters. Yes, God help you. God help you. Let God work. Let God work. Have you know somebody else at those bitter waters? Would you raise your hand? You know somebody else at them? Then why don't you help them? Encourage them. Encourage them. If you raised your hand, not sure about heaven. If you raised your hand saying that you're at the bitter waters, I'm going to pray. As soon as I get done, Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, and I'm going to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible and help you. If you just want to come and pray, you come and pray. May the Lord help you. Father, take it now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. you come if God's speaking to your heart. Would you do it?
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him, whatever befall, trusting Jesus. That is all.
All right, thank you. May I look this way? Let me give you a couple of announcements. Pastor mentioned we have had two deaths in the church. Linda Hensley passed away, I believe, Friday night. And the arrangements for Linda, we know they are tomorrow here at the church, 4:30 to 7. Funeral will be at 7 o'clock. Graveside service will be Tuesday at the cemetery out by the airport at 11. We do not know, unless this is the arrangement for, this may be, it is. All right, Jenny Collins. Let's see, viewing Tuesday at Tietrich Funeral Home from 12 to 2, and the funeral will be at 2 o'clock at Tietrich. So, and the graveside following at Washington County Memorial Garden. So those are the two arrangements there. If you didn't catch that, feel free to ask again. We'll give that to you. Tonight, reminder, tonight is the fifth Sunday offering, and our others offering, be alert to that and pray about what the Lord would have you to do. Wednesday, important Sunday school workers meeting. If you're working in Sunday school, if you're a group leader, if you're a teacher, if you're a helper, please be there at 6:30 in the chapel. Third ladies retreat, the deadline is next Sunday. Now let me give you a clue, ladies. Next Sunday there's going to be 75 ladies sign up. Beat the rush, sign up today. There you go. You won't have to stand in line, so sign up today, get that taken care of. Saturday we have our monthly prayer breakfast and visitation, and so that will be here at the church at 9 o'clock. And then we have the golf tournament to follow at 12 if you're a man. We give you free breakfast, free lunch, you play golf, you can't beat that kind of deal. By the way, if you'd like to play golf, haven't signed up yet, come and see me. We'll get you on the team. Get that taken care of. If you've got guys coming that are unsaved, try to get them here at 12 o'clock. Okay, we'll start eating at noon, and then we want them to hear the gospel. Brother Bob's going to be giving the gospel. Excited about that, and make sure they're here for that. Okay, that's the main purpose of this whole deal. Okay, gentlemen, you come on. We'll receive the offering this morning. Lord, we do thank you for this message we've heard this morning. We thank you that we have a God who can make bitter water sweet. And Lord, for those that raise their hand this morning saying they're going through a bitter time, some of those we know about, many we do not. But we thank you that you do. And I pray that you would sweeten those waters for them, that they would know your presence in a special way. Bless this offering. Bless these two who are about to be baptized. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
father's here with her, Mr. Leslie Urban. And today, during Sunday school, her father trusted the Lord as his personal Savior. And we're so happy about that. So thrilled to have you with us, sir. And we want to congratulate you on your decision. Today, you're putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Is that correct? Outstanding. And this is his girl. And she has prayed to receive the Lord, has been dealt with. And we are going to baptize her today. Isn't she a precious girl? She said she has to go first because she's the oldest in all of this. So that's good. This is Liberty Urban. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. I don't want this church to ever get older that you baptize a child and the father gets into the family of God the same day. I don't ever get over that. Haley Albright, you're her mother? Her mother's right up here, and we are thrilled today that the water is warm. Thank you, Mr. Ben. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Good to have some of her family here with us. God bless you, precious folks. And we are thrilled to have visitors with us. Let me remind you, if you're visiting with us and filled out a visitor's card, to please drop it off at the Welcome Center. Get your free gift. Be right back in the Lord's house tonight at 6:30. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer today, okay? Brother Joe Sherry, please, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please. Mm-hmm.